You're listening to the Winning Mind Podcast. I am Letitia D'Souza. I am a mindset coach and business strategist who has helped more than 1,200 people change their lives, their relationships, their businesses, and just win in life. There's a myriad of reasons why we're not winning in life. Most people don't really play to win. They play not to lose. And what winning really means is becoming a better version of yourself each and every day. We can do this together. Hey, it's Letitia. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you. I won't bore you with the same speech that I tell you about how much I really appreciate you. Yes, I will. I really feel like in the times that we live in, we can take so much for granted. And I think we can become so familiar with people, with things that we lose appreciation. We don't express appreciation. We don't tell people how much we value them and how much we appreciate them. And it can lend itself to entitlement, even when you don't realize it. So my posture today is that I really don't take this opportunity for granted that you share space with me. I know that I am doing the podcast and I have chosen to do it, but the fact that you join me, the fact that you share with other people, the fact that you help me on my quest, you know, to change lives one mind at a time, I'm really grateful for you and I'm really appreciative for you. And I just wanted to share that. So if nobody else told you that they appreciate you today, you heard it from me. One of the things that's really on my mind today is it actually is tied to one of the other podcasts I did. If you didn't hear it, it's called This Is My Story and I'm Sticking to It. And while this one won't necessarily be about that, I was just reading about how the rapper DMX is in critical or grave condition and that he overdosed on drugs again and that it triggered a heart attack, that things are not looking good for him. I don't know what the outcome of that will be, but his story was one that I've always followed because I was just always fascinated by the story of his life. And every time I've seen him on any like reality TV show or any show that kind of wanted to understand him and his quest and his life, he always told the story of his mother taking him to, I guess, like a group home or something and dropping him off and how that created a hole in his heart that it was unrecoverable. So as a young boy, the same thing that was like responsible for, quote unquote, his success and his creativity, you know, was also the thing that just caused a deep hole to be lodged in his heart that he has never been able to recover from. And he tells that story. Even the most recent thing that I watched on like a Rough Rider special is probably a few months back. He was still sharing that exact story. So even through fame, even through success, even through like all of the accolades and everything that he's done, that story has followed him all of his life. And the addiction has followed him just like all of his life. So when I invite you, when I admonish you to really dig into the stories that have shaped your life, that is why that work is so important, because you can live and you can die with a story. And if you, your current story is not the story that you want to be a part of your legacy and what you want to be known by, then I'm just inviting you to close the book and write another chapter, right? Really, it's really, really possible, but it's really heart-wrenching and heartbreaking to me when I just think about that. I was sharing with someone just yesterday, I was so deeply impacted, or one of the things about my work that people don't realize, people think that my work is easy and there is a grace on my life and the way that I do my work that makes it look easy, because I'm not doing work that I chose to do. I'm doing work that I was called to do. So there is a certain grace for me to do the work. But here's what I want you to understand. Whenever you're doing something that you have, I won't even say I was chosen to do this work. You know, the Bible speaks about many are called and few being chosen. I was chosen because of my response, because of my willingness to say yes. But with everything that you are chosen to do, there is a price that you are going to pay for what it is that you are chosen to do and what it is that you are saying yes to. What I have said yes to do is to change people's lives, to get in the trenches with people, to go into the dark places with people, to get into, you know, the shadows of people and the things that they will hide from the rest of the world and walk with them in those places, because I've journeyed in those places of my own. But in saying yes to that work, I am not left unimpacted by the depths of hurt and pain and addiction and things that I see that some of the most brilliant and beautiful people are dealing with behind the scenes. Like, if I wasn't chosen for this work, I don't think that I would have the makeup to actually do it, because it's not just the DMXs and the celebrities. They just have a platform where you can see their issues. But these are just like your everyday people that you look at, and you would have no idea of the misery, of the depths of despair that people live their lives in day to day. And so for me to be chosen to help set people free, for me to be chosen to help people transform, for me to be chosen to help disrupt the thought patterns of people and to, you know, shed light in dark places and show them that there is a better way, it's a lot. It's really a lot. And it weighs a lot on me just when I see the practical realities that people can live in. And sometimes it weighs a lot on me, because I always say, like, God, just like, what does it take, or what will it take? And why is it just so hard for so many people to just like make changes because I can see what's on the other side of it, right? So sometimes I'm really asking God these things and praying about these things. But one of the things that I've come to realize is that all of our addictions aren't to drugs. A lot of us have addictive cycles in our lives, and we don't realize those addictive cycles, because if they are not quote unquote addictions that are negative, like to drugs or food or sex or porn or something that you can see and you can see how it could affect your life negatively, a lot of times we don't recognize our addictions. Some of us are addicted to drama. Some of us are addicted to trauma. Some of us are addicted to stress and the hormones of stress. I work with people every day, and I would be doing a disservice to people if I didn't tell them what I feel to be the truth, or what I feel to be the truth. And I have said on more than one occasion, I believe that you are so addicted to being in this place that there is some reward from you that comes from this, even though you say that you don't want it. And the addiction of this is why you cannot get out of it. And so I can't coach you out of an addiction. Just like anything else, you have to choose your way out of this. And then you have to just like create a whole new normal for yourself. But do you know that, you know, I'm always going back to our childhood environments. If you came from a childhood environment that was unstable, that was volatile, that was very stressful, do you know that you can form an addiction to just like the instability? And as an adult, you can be addicted to just like the stress hormones. So how do I know this to be true? I have clients that we get like on level ground and we're in a good space, right? Coming out of a crisis and in a good space. And it's like, here's what we need to do to maintain this and then move to the next space. And they're like, Letitia, you're absolutely right. This is what I want. I want peace in my life and my business and my relationships. Great. Well, guess what happens? They recreate a crisis. They recreate some situation that has them fighting fires or doing something that they say that they did not want, because the addiction to the stress hormones, the crisis and the drama is not there when things are quote unquote normal. Things that are normal, things feel boring, right? People that doesn't feed that thing that we've become addicted to. And I see it time and time again. You could be addicted to crisis. You could be addicted to drama. And if you don't like figure out how to pull yourself out of that, you will just live a life, or you will die in this space. And it just doesn't have to be that way. So I know that was a long, you know, it was stemming from me thinking about DMX, but it just really breaks my heart. And those addictive cycles have been formed in childhood. And it's all because we're trying to control everything around us and make things just things make them manageable. And we're trying to cope with realities, and we are just, in many instances, we are just making things worse. So my prayers definitely go out to DMX, but I'm telling y'all, this whole thing about just these addictive cycles, it has just been so, so heavy on my heart. And that also led me to thinking about the other part of the world in which we live in. You might be somebody who does this, but before you do it again, I really want you to consider. We live in a society today where social media is our strongest influence and quote unquote influencers. Do you know that I was reading a study recently and it was asking children like what they wanted to be when they grew up and what their career choices were? Influencer, a social media influencer, is now a career choice. So much so that our children are looking like they want to actually be social media influencers as a career, because we have been so influenced by what it is that we see, what it is that we perceive, what it is that people share, or the portraits that people paint, that it has duped us into believing that it's reality, you know? And I'm not saying that everybody that shares things on social media is not real, but what I was saying about you, before you ever do this again, before you hashtag business goals, hashtag relationship goals, we point to what we see and that becomes the object of our like inspiration and motivation. And we aspire to be like people that we don't even know based on what it is that they are sharing and the image that they are portraying. And we never know what the hell is happening behind the scenes. We don't know the misery that people are living in. We don't know like what people are really dealing with. And how dare we hashtag goal something that we don't even know what it is? Because you know what it does? It makes us start to either take for granted or resent whatever it is that we have around us right now while we aspire to be something that we don't even know is real, right? You're looking at a man or a woman on social media, and then you look at the man or the woman that you got, and it's just like, why can't he or she be more like this? Why can't he or she do this, right? I'll give you a perfect example. Remember, everybody was just like, what was Ciara's prayer to get Russell Wilson? You want to pray the same prayer that Ciara prayed to think that you are going to pray a Russell Wilson into your life. Like this is the type of stuff that I'm talking about. Instead of dealing with your life, the reality of your life, your scope of life, the blessings that are set out for you, your path, your people, your purpose, and being content with what is in your life, we're always looking outside of ourselves. I think it's fine to be inspired by people. I think it's fine to be motivated by people, but we have pedestalized people that we see and we think we know these people, right? And we're trying to mimic what it is that we see other people doing, and most of it is not even real. Oh my God. And the other thing is that it's hard for me because I'm so discerning and I can sense and see and know and feel, and I know and sense and see and feel things that I would just rather not know. So I know when things are not as they appear to be. Sometimes I will ask God, why do I need to know this information? Like it can be a bit burdensome and heavy, but who is your model? Who is your role model? Who are you aspiring to be, right? Who is it? And why are you aspiring to be like somebody other than who you've been designed to be? There is no faster way than to get off your path than to compare where you are and who you are with someone else. Compare and despair is a term for a reason. Because as I always say, comparison is going to lead you to despair, because you are going to compare what appears to be somebody's best with your worst. And there is never a way that you are going to line up, because you're going to feel inferior, or conversely, you're going to compare your best to somebody's worst, and it's so that you can derive self-esteem and feel like, you know, you're a little bit superior. Comparison is a killer. It's a killer. And it's just, everybody is guilty of it. I have been guilty of comparison. When I find myself in that space, I can quickly snatch myself back and say, you are in a lane that is yours. If you don't like what is in your lane, then you need to do something differently to change it. But checking out and trying to model my lane after what I see somebody else is doing is going to make me completely discontent with my lane and with everything else that is in it. Some of us wish that we had different children, different partners, different spouses, different jobs, different businesses. We want everything to be different but ourselves. If you want anything in your life to be different, start with you and work from the inside out. Because if you show up differently, you can influence your children to show up differently. If you show up differently, you can influence or inspire your partner to interact with you differently. If you show up differently, your employees can show up differently, but the work starts with you. But we're so easy to deflect and to point the finger and look outside of ourselves and point to things outside of us for the reason for our discontentment, when it has nothing to do with anything outside of us. The hole that is in you can never be filled with anything that is outside of you. I'll say it again. The hole of discontentment, of unhappiness that is in you, it can never be fulfilled with anything that is outside of you. And that is why the more you get, the more you need. The more money you get, the more money you need. The more money you get, it's like, money is not it. I have enough money. What is it? Oh, well, I need another house. Well, nope, the house is not it. Oh, well, I need a new relationship. Nope, the relationship is not it. Because the hole is in you. The hole is in you. Each and every one of us, you might not believe this, but this is my belief, and I can share my beliefs because, well, this is my podcast. I believe that each and every one of us has a God-sized void on the inside of us that can only be filled by being in relationship to God and doing what we were put here to do. I believe that anything else outside of that is an enhancement, is an addition, but it cannot be the source. Whenever anything or anybody else is the source of our happiness, you can damn sure bet they can also be the source of our unhappiness, because they have been given a godlike place in our lives that they have never been designed to have. I am a huge believer that the people around me and the people in my life make me better, but they are not the source of my happiness, nor are they the source of my unhappiness. So whenever I feel disconnected, whenever I feel unfulfilled, whenever I feel like something is stirring in me and I'm just not happy with where I am in life, I'm not looking outside of me. I'm looking inside of me and I'm asking God, what am I missing? What do I need to do? What do I need to shift? How do I need to show up differently? Because I know that it is me. And until we take 100% responsibility for changing us, we will never be happy. We will never be fulfilled. We will always be looking outside of ourselves. We will always have hashtag goals for somebody and something that appears to be, quote unquote, our idea or ideal of success or happiness or love or something that we currently don't have. And we're setting ourselves up for a life of misery. And then that's going to lead me to something else that, while I'm talking about it, let me share this. If you really want to know the source of a lot of your unhappiness, look at your expectations and look at what it is that you expect. Look at what it is that you expect from other people and from situations. Your expectations are the source of your unhappiness. The more that you can deal with your expectations and the more that you can manage your expectations, the happier you are going to become. Now, let me tell you something. Women are guilty of this, but men are equally guilty. Women are hopeless romantics, right? Emphasis on the word hopeless, because a lot of the things that we idealize and romanticize in relationships, not just like romantic relationships, but we ascribe characteristics to people that we have romanticized or just envisioned in our minds that don't necessarily match up with reality. And so I read something so powerful today. And, you know, I'm always reading, and it said, people's patterns speak louder than their words. So everybody that you are in relationship with has a pattern, have patterns, have ways of being and ways of showing up. And we sometimes have expectations for people to be other than who they are. And so we have expectations, whether spoken or not verbalized, And the more people don't live up to those expectations, the angrier that we become, right? But people are clearly showing us who they are. They're by their patterns, because as adults, we for the most part, we are who we are. You know how they say, I don't know that I fully agree with this, but people say the way that you do anything is the way that you do everything. A lot of times, if you just pay attention to people, you will see patterns. And I'm not saying pay attention to people from the standpoint of judgment, or you're not, you know, like looking for things wrong. People just show up in life in a certain way because that's the way they've chosen to be, or that's the way their life's experiences have shaped them. However, we see this. We can see people's patterns. And if we're paying attention, we can see people's patterns very, very early on in relationships. Employee, employer, you know, male, female, like whatever the nature of the relationship. We see the pattern, and then we're almost going to insist that people be someone other than who they are. So we have an expectation of people that is not rooted in reality. What would make more sense is if we would take the power position and choose whether or not we want to be in relationship with those people of any sort. And if the relationship is not working, then we can move on and do something different. But we, a lot of times, are going to be dogmatic and dig deep in what we expect from people, only for them to repeatedly let us down because of the expectations in the first place. Does that make sense to you? Like, and then, furthermore, to serve our ego's needs, a lot of times we're going to demand that people bend to our expectations, and it's just not really who they are. I have a client right now, and when she hears this, she'll know that it's her, so it's you. But we were just speaking about staff challenges, right? I have a lot of clients with staff challenges, but my client is like so incredibly generous with her staff. Like, she treats them just like amazingly well. She's very, very lax in the sense of how they have to do the work, just that they do the work, right? So they have a lot of autonomy, a lot of freedom. I have told her on so many occasions, like, you are really like amazing to your employees, right? So when we started looking at the employees' performance, do you know what happened? Not much. Not much of anything. The performance that she was asking of them, they weren't doing. We saw that very, very early on. And she just kept, you know, rolling out the red carpet and being good to them. And, you know, because that's just genuinely who she is. And what happened over time, she made a statement to me that you would think that basically because I'm so good to them, that they would in turn do what it is that I'm asking them to do. You would think that my expectation would be met from them. Absolutely not. So what I was explaining to her is, we see very early on what their patterns are. I would think that as the employer, if it doesn't meet the demands of the position, then you have a decision to make, because they are not in the power position here, if that makes sense. So what happened is that this went on for years, for it's been going on for probably like 4 years now, even though we haven't been working together for 3 years. So her expectations have not been met for the last 4 years. And so guess what's happening? She is miserable with her staff, because that whole thing about expectations, you would think that because I'm good to you, you'll be good to me. I'm romanticizing and idealizing how you're going to show up in relation to me because of what I'm doing for you. People, it just does not work like that. It does not work like that. Your expectations are going to be the source of your unhappiness in many, many ways, especially if they are unreasonable, especially if they are not verbalized or articulated, and most especially if you passively, aggressively do things for people with the expectation that they are going to reciprocate, as opposed to you making a request and asking people if they are on board with you in this way, whether romantically, whether personally, professionally, I don't care how it is, right? You can save yourself a lot of heartache and hurt by just by being clear, by managing your expectations. And if people can't meet what quote unquote your expectation is, then recognize that very early on and do something differently. You either move to, you know, a different relationship, a different dynamic. But what I'm almost willing to bet is you're going to find the same thing, because the problem, usually the root of all of that, is that a lot of times people don't have unrealistic expectations. We want people to be something to us, for us, with us, that is just way too much of a demand on on any human being. And then when they can't do it, just like, what do they say with divorces? We have irreconcilable differences, right? Because the truth is, things don't go wrong, they start wrong. We see these patterns very, very early on. We romanticize and idealize them, and we act like we don't see them. And so 4 or 5 years down the line, we come to the realization that what we saw in the beginning, that was present from the very beginning, is what is here, and we can no longer deal with it. We can minimize a lot of our own heartache, headache, loss, if we just pay attention, if we would just take ownership and responsibility for how we're showing up for our own happiness, not delegating that and outsourcing that to people who don't have the ability to do that, nor should they. You are in the driver's seat. You know how people say, Jesus, take the wheel? Jesus ain't taking the wheel. You take the wheel. You drive your own car. Jesus ain't taking no wheel. You have everything that you need to drive the car, but it means that you're going to have to take accountability and responsibility for where it is that you want to go. And you can't just conveniently relinquish the wheel when you're not going in the direction that you choose. You have to re-steer, redirect the car, get yourself back on track. And that is how you create the life and, you know, the life, the love, whatever it is that you're looking to create, that you want, with intention and not just by default. The last thing that I will share, and I was so glad I read this. I was reading an article, Ayanla Van Zandt, Ayanla Fixed My Life. Somebody was asking her, like, how does it feel for you to be in the position to fix people's lives? And she's laughing. And she said, you know, like, basically, that sounds good, but I don't fix people's lives. People fix their own lives. Like, I'm not taking on that responsibility. What I do is I identify patterns, I disrupt thought processes, and I help people see a better way to be. But the work is always on them, right? She said, I don't fix people's lives. It was a nice marketable thing. Ayanla, Fix Your Life. And so from watching that show, I was like, my first book just might be Fix Your Own Effing Life. You put what you want to put in the F, but it's like, it's nobody's responsibility to fix your life. And because people don't want this responsibility to do it themselves, we're just always pointing the finger and looking for somebody to do this for us. Well, guess what? If our good sis Ayanla can't do it, I mean, come on. Like, really? You got to do this work for yourself. So I will die wanting people to be better, because I live wanting people to be better, right? So every time you hear me talking on this podcast, it will be always something that's inviting you to do something differently, to show up differently, to be better, because I want you to be better. I want you to win. Like, that is my heart's desire for you. But guess what? I can't coach desire, and I can't want something for you more than you want for yourself. So remember, I spoke earlier about the price that you pay for the work that you do. The price that I pay is knowing that sometimes people don't want what they say they want. People don't want what they tell me they want. People don't want what I want for them. So in managing my own expectations, I just have to make peace with that and just work with those people who do. Thank you so much for joining me. And I love each and every one of you. And share this episode with someone and change your life.